This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is Joy 94.9's Family Matters podcast, your light-hearted look at parenthood and rainbow families, sponsored by Berry Street. Did you know that Berry Street seeks members of our LGBTI communities to become foster carers? Not only do they have a proud tradition of training and embracing LGBTIQ carers, they officially support marriage equality. Learn more now at berrystreet.org.au, a proud Joy sponsor for over 5 years.
You gotta see the baby. When are you gonna see the baby?
Family Matters.
Good evening. My name is Michelle. You are listening to Family Matters. In the studio with me right now is producer Gina.
Hello.
Hello, darling.
Where's everyone else?
Everybody else is doing a photo shoot with the lovely Kieran Fields and Little Wise.
Oh, lovely. And they were singing and just... What a great little interview.
I know. There's all the instruments in here and all everyone plugged in. I love Midsummer.
Yes.
There's so many fun things and so many acts and so many things that are going on. Like, I was sitting today with a friend of mine while I was doing some work for my company, and she's looking at the brochure going, it really is a totally different world, isn't it?
Gorgeous?
And I go, yeah, it's amazing.
And it's all the arts events, and we did share on Facebook, there are some actual family events, and we shared that the other week. There's book readings, there's so many family picture events, and ways for family, like everyone.
Well, you and I
involved.
Are actually in an exhibition.
We are just in a little bit of an exhibition. I think the Stand Up Straight crew gave us enough credit for that earlier tonight.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
Mish, I'm a little bit nervous about tonight.
Why are you nervous?
Because the topic maybe we've decided to tackle, and I think the reason I'm nervous is because nobody ever tackled this topic with me as a kid, and we'll talk about that.
I know. I'll take you under my wing. I'll look after you. And as we're talking about this next topic, we've got the beautiful Beck coming
Hello.
In with us.
Hello,
the beautiful
darling. Beck. You were serenaded too just then.
Oh, my
take
lordy.
That, as a, that was awesome.
I had an emotional experience with those songs. I said I want to get drunk and ring all my ex-boyfriends.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
They were gorgeous.
They were brilliant.
And I love that they're going to have an Auslan interpreter at their gigs. I mean, that is just...
That's the bomb.
So did it give you feelings
Absolutely
that we need to talk
it.
About tonight?
I might need to.
Okay. Has anyone had that talk with you?
Oh, that talk.
That talk.
I think I need to have it again, Michelle. It's been a while.
Well, that's what Mama Mish is here to do and help. And we have the glorious Clayton with us tonight, who's coming in. And reprising his role as, what do you call him?
Well, principal, captain.
Well, ambassador.
Well, the best thing about Clayton, not only is a primary school teacher, but he's a sex ed teacher. So if that kind of gives you a hint of what we're talking about tonight, our advice is maybe enjoy the next song and maybe put the kids in front of something else, because this is actually a show just for the parents tonight.
Yes.
I was going to say put them to bed, but the sun's still out.
The sun is still out, isn't it gorgeous?
Hey, look, as a parent, I always get that. I'm like, look, it is 8 o'clock going on 9, like, but the sun is still out. I'm like, get your ass to bed. So, anyway, you are listening to Family Matters. We will be back shortly. Talk to you in a minute.
The life issues that, well, matter. Family Matters on Joy 94.9.
Let's fall in love.
That's what we're talking about.
That's what we're talking about. Well, that's much love.
I don't know that was about love.
I don't think it was about love.
I think it was about making love.
How'd you say that?
Making love. That's what I'm going to say everything tonight.
And why don't you have a partner?
I know, it's weird, isn't it?
Hashtag fine.
Hashtag fine, Becca husband. Update on hashtag fine David Day. Mm. I hope he's listening to this show, because if he's going to go on dates, he might need to learn about
exactly.
The bees and the bees.
Other than saving your material in the bees and the bees. I didn't catch up on that.
Yeah.
Other than saving his material in the freezer.
Correct. But I have heard from Dave. He's still alive. He's in Amsterdam, I think.
Ooh.
Very actually, nice. I might be getting that wrong. Or Paris or somewhere. Anyway. He's alive. He's called me. He seems to be drinking beer and looking at hot men. So doesn't
bees
suck
and the bees.
To be
pretty
Dave.
Much the same thing as always.
Pretty much. Yeah. He's just doing it internationally. So, yeah. Hashtag find David
So he's
Dave.
Just window shopping.
He yes. is window shopping. Okay. International window shopping.
And welcome, Clayton.
Hi.
Hey, so we haven't heard from you in a while.
No. And I wasn't just running off recording IDs or anything. So.
No.
I love that it's school holidays, except we have to have like a teacher here all the time. Aren't we supposed to be relaxing?
We might need Clayton tonight, because I know I was just saying to Michelle, I'm a little bit nervous about the topic tonight, because we are...
Sex.
Well, we kind of touched on this a bit last week when we were talking about
we touched on it.
We did, and this is why we're doing exactly. this topic.
We're going to be grown-ups. We are not grown-ups.
No. Oh, come on! You know we're going to giggle.
Of course, yeah.
That is the number one rule. I'm sorry, I'm interrupting. Is that laughing is perfectly acceptable during sex ed?
Oh, God.
Oh, okay. That's good.
And they said boobies.
Yeah, exactly.
Penis.
Boys had it. Yeah, yeah.
Well, my favorite question ever, because I am a sex ed teacher, if people didn't know this, and my favorite question ever is, can I shave my balls? And let's keep in mind, this is from a person who's about 10 at the time.
And this is the thing. Like, last week, I think I was shocked a bit because you are a primary school teacher and we started talking about sexting and you're like, oh, my God, yes, those conversations come up. And then I started thinking about the conversations I have with my niece and nephew and trying to educate them in this sort of space, and they're primary school age. And then I was like, oh, my God, they're so young. And
How do you think I feel seeing my going on 11-year-old who's now starting puberty while I'm going through puberty at the same time?
It's a complicated little household you're running there, Michelle.
But can I ask, I'm very open to the fact that nobody had the talk with me, not about my body, not about sex. I grew up in a very Greek household, and I learnt most of what I know through television, namely Prisoner and Dynasty at the time, which is probably not the best place for me. But
is that why you're a lesbian?
Quite possibly.
That's what I said earlier. Yeah.
You were influenced through the media.
Yes, I was influenced through the media. Because that's how it happens.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But Beck, who gave you the little talk?
I remember the book Where Did I Come From was out. But then I remember learning learning it at school. I remember there was this horrendous thing in about grade 3 where all your parents had to come and all the kids and sit in a hall while some person who I imagine was like Clayton was like, the penis goes in the vagina. And you're like, oh, my God, I'm 9 and my parents are here.
So that happened at primary school?
Yeah.
Wow.
But I also reckon, I remember also we had a question box. So if you were too embarrassed to ask the questions, you could put them in the box. And I think that is a very good idea.
Oh, I do a question survey monkey now.
Oh, yeah. Because I went to school in the olden days. But yeah. I think that's really good because, I mean, there's always that one kid who's happy to, you know, put their hand up and say, can I shave my balls? But I think it's good if you can say it, you know, anonymously.
That was actually in the question box, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Question.
That wasn't
and,
just
yeah. And I did do a 5-minute conversation on manscaping.
Oh, so, yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
It's a community service.
Mish, how did, like.
I'm having a moment. You're going to 10-year-old asking about shaving his balls. Sorry.
But. And I want to I'm going to change my language tonight. We're going to talk about that later from some of the images that kids are getting elsewhere.
I know.
But for you, who had the conversation with you about bodies, about sex?
My dad was very open about sex in general. So I remember as a kid, my dad had Playboys sitting around and you know, I was so used to not something thrown in my face, but he wasn't someone to have a conversation with. So my mom and I had that conversation. But then at the same time, you're kind of going, you know, I'm gender confused in my head at that age and going, okay, well, we didn't have sex on. Like, how do you have a conversation around, okay, so you identify as a lesbian. So this is how safe sex with a lesbian is. Or this is how safe sex is with
I come
whatever.
On to stand up straight and tell all the joy audience.
Exactly.
I know all about gentlemen.
I remember my mom handing me a condom and saying, this is what a condom is. And, you know, being very open about it. But then me being so confused as well. So but I remember some of my early sex ed was sitting at the locker in junior high and the kid had a Playboy in the locker and like, oh yeah, check this out. And I'm going, oh, she's pretty, but I kind of want to be her.
And that's something for everyone, Playboy.
Exactly.
Mm. And Clayton, how about you?
He read the articles.
There's another story there for a different day. I had lots of stuff at school. I don't remember. Like, I remember some sort of stuff at school. I don't remember my parents specifically talking about general sex ed. But on a television program one day, somebody mentioned an ectopic pregnancy.
Oh.
And so I said, what's an ectopic pregnancy to my family? And then my dad started explaining it. And I realized at this point, I've made a horrible mistake.
Yeah.
So an ectopic pregnancy is when
exactly.
Is when the egg grows inside the fallopian tube.
No. Not something you want to know as a young boy.
No, that part I was fine with, but then he went through how the egg got fertilized and stuff. And it's like, I don't really want to hear this from my dad.
So. Can I ask, was anyone told the stalk stuff? I mean, my parents couldn't even use the language to describe the anatomy bits. They were
what
kind of
these. What did they call it?
Well, they were other little words in Greek that usually represented animals. And you couldn't even call your bits anatomically.
What animal was yours?
Well, there was a. I can't
tell me, Gina. I need to know this.
It was a little black bird.
It was a little bird, and it was a really sweet way of, you know, and yeah.
And is that your vagina?
No. Well, yes, actually.
Gina's blushing. She's just. Now, I got to ask Clayton, every time you do sex ed, do you have a reminder of why you're gay in the first place?
To be honest, it's because I just purely talk about the mechanics of it. Nothing freaks me out at all. And that's the thing is that I have all these people around me just totally freaking out. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Like, and you need your sex educator face. That's my tip number two for tonight.
Sex educator face.
When you're talking to your kids about any of this stuff, you need your sex educator face, which means that you can't look shocked. You can't be judgmental. You've just got to go with it.
Oh, my God. Anyway, you are listening to Family Matters. If you do want to send in a question of your own, please SMS us at 0427-JOY-949, or you can email us at onair@joy.org.au. If you do really feel like talking to us about it and you want to embarrass Gina further, you can call us.
Or tell us what your
question. Or if you've got a question that you want to verbalize on air, 1-300-JOY-949, you can embarrass Gina further. You are listening to Family Matters. We will be back shortly.
You're listening to Family Matters with any combination of Gina, Adrian, Michelle, David and Beck. Joy 94.9.
Welcome back. You are listening to Family Matters and tonight we're having family conversations.
And I told you guys the word in the break and I'm not going to repeat it.
No. I thought that was funny.
As soon as you said it, I lost it. But I'm going to use it. I change your name in my phone.
No, but it's interesting because I've even had conversations with parents of trans kids, and you get these kids who are, you know, eventually going on blockers, and their bodies are going to be changing. Like, how do you even, like, I was looking at some of the parents going, like, I understand what my body's going through and what I had before and what's happening now. Like, but some of these even these young kids are like, but I want to be able to go and like have a baby or. And it's a hard conversation to have with kids, especially in a time when we're opening up about gender and sexuality is even bigger. And, you know, are there guides out there, Clayton, to go and say if you know your child's 16 or 14 or 13 and they are gay, like how do you, is there something there for parents to help them advise and talk to kids about safer sex?
There's stuff out on the web, but there's nothing definitive. The Safe Schools has a great guide for schools on their website, so you can go there and sort of check out something for the schools to help. Mm-hmm. And it's not so much about sexual health as much as just understanding gender identity and sexuality and things like that.
And is this where the conversation should really start with the kids? Obviously, I'm assuming talking about the body first and talking about the changes in the body. When you're getting the questions in those little survey monkeys or whatever it is you're doing in your little safety box, I love that.
Had a lock on it.
Do you think parents are having these conversations in primary school, or is it really, do you reckon, the school that's starting this conversation?
I think it's inconsistent, which is part of the issue, is that different kids get different messages. The good thing about doing it in schools is that you can give the same message to a whole lot of people at the same time.
Yeah.
This doesn't mean the parents are doing a bad job. Different parents are doing a different job.
And do you have to get approval from the parents before you can start this stuff? Or are they kind of like, oh, thank God, you're going to do this, not us?
Yeah. No, we don't seek approval. We send out a note to let the parents know, and there's an option to withdraw their child if they want to.
That's interesting.
Yeah, because it's part of the curriculum, so we don't need the permission.
Yeah, because I didn't have permission forms or anything like that, and they just started it. And I remember the books, the graphics, and the diagrams were pretty graphic. And yeah, but the boys went in one room, girls went another, and that was it.
Oh, wow.
Do they all do it together now?
Yes, they do.
So to speak.
We do a bit of both, to be honest.
Yeah.
And it's really important that girls and boys know what happens to each other.
Mm.
We all grow up, and no matter what, no matter our sexuality, our gender, our identity, we're going to relate to people of all sexualities and all genders over time. So we need to know what happens to women. We need to know what happens to men. And we need to know, hopefully, what happens to everybody else as well.
That's all I need to do is all of a sudden some boy has sex with his girlfriend and go, oh my God, you're dying. And so, you know, like, and then a scare.
And, you know, just making sure that boys know about girls' bodies, because that's part of the whole misogyny base, is that boys don't know enough about girls' bodies.
Well, the only thing we find these days is out on the internet, I found that there's videos and images and everything. It's not even password protected anymore. It's pretty much right there and open and everything. And the images and the stories or whatever that they would learn and the material that they're learning from is quite wrong.
So if you think about it, when we were at school, given we're all of a certain age, possibly not Beck.
I love that you all treat me like I'm young. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's not because you're acting mature or anything.
No.
So we would grab a dictionary and we'd look up the word sex. And
yes.
Go,
boobies, that sort of stuff. No, yeah. Really. Yeah.
Boobs, a penis, everything.
Yeah. National Geographic.
But now kids at any age can type that same thing into a search engine and they're going to get a very different experience to what we had
as kids.
So the kids aren't doing anything wrong by looking up all these things. It's just that that information access is there.
And the curiosity is the same curiosity
same
we
as us.
Had.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the parental filters that are there for these things aren't really filtering it.
Yeah.
And most of the times the kids are better at technology than the parents anyway, and you can get around those things pretty quick.
Oh, yeah.
So at what age in primary school are these conversations, I guess, firstly, not about sex, we'll touch on that later, but about bodies and bodies changing and puberty and...
And that's absolutely where you should start. No, don't start at sex because you're going to completely freak the kids out. Mm. Start with their bodies and start talking about how they change. I would do this from any age at age-appropriate things. Mm-hmm. At school, my school, we start at age 10, so roughly age 10, so grade 5. Other schools start in grade 4. Some schools will start at prep, but not so much talking about bodies changing, but just talking about the differences between girls and boys possibly, or, you know, talking about our own bodies, about being safe with your body, so knowing you have the right to say no to anybody touching you, that sort of stuff. So these conversations can start really young, but people don't often realize they are part of their sexual education.
Yeah.
One of the things I've learned recently was that a lot of the kids these days, because they have so much technology at their hands, they're using certain applications like Snapchat, etc. Now, I have nothing against any of these applications, but I've learned that a lot of these younger students are actually sending each other nudes. Like my nephew, some kid was giving another kid trouble and he stepped up and said, hey, knock it off, et cetera, et cetera. But the girls, basically getting to it was the girls were like, oh, you're such a sweet boy. If you want, we'll send you some nudes on Snapchat. God. And I'm going, these kids are like 12 and 13. And how is this even?
Yeah, I've had younger than that, actually. Wow. This is a really tricky conversation. This year was the first year I've had it as part of my sex education program, where the principal asked me to do it. And so I've included that in the program. And I took it from the point of view of, okay, so sometimes, you know how you message your friends?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes somebody you may know well, somebody you might not know that well, might say to you, look, can you send me a picture of you? And then sometimes I might even say, can you send a picture of you without your clothes on? Mm. And I talk about the fact that, you know, that's really not a good idea because once those images are out there, but I also talk about the legality of it.
Yeah.
So under Australian law, and please correct me if I'm wrong. Even a child sending an image of themselves is still the distribution of child pornography.
Wow.
So that can carry an offense and it can end up with the kids being on a sex offender registry. However, I don't know that that's been put in place in Australia.
I know it is in the States.
Yeah. So I don't know about Australia though. Any idea? No.
I know there's been some discussion about it. I am happy to clarify that.
And
okay, sure.
Because do we think though, when we are looking at primary school age, is it as curious as when the two kids go, I'll show you yours, you'll show me mine. But they're using,
technology
to do that, which is, do we reckon it's that that's happening or there's more sinister kind of element to, I guess because the people I know and the work that they do, I hear that and alarm bells ring in my head. And I get really frightened. I guess it's probably the work that I've done in the past that, for me, it signals an alarm bell. But are we looking at it a little bit too much or is it, I don't know, the technology changes the whole landscape.
Absolutely, and it changes everything about sex, basically. Yeah. It depends on the individual child. For some kids, it could be age-appropriate behavior, which is, I'll show you yours if you show me mine, which is not the kids are necessarily doing anything wrong. It's about exploring their bodies. Mm. But then for some kids who have matured faster than another, it could be something more of a challenge for parents to deal with.
Yeah. Now, one of the things I found with my kids, especially my now 11-year-old, and her being more aware of her body, and I know mom's had conversations with her, and I've had to, I try to talk it down. You know, I'm like, oh yeah, no reason. But look, hey, I've noticed, things are changing and, you're changing like yeah. daddy's changing. And I said to her, I said, in case, something else happens, I said, there's some things in the drawer and if you need help, there it is. Okay. I said, but don't freak out. I just wanted you to know it just in case something happens.
Were you comfortable using the language? Because I joked last week that nobody explained it and I was put in front of the thorn
birds.
I'm
not using the language here.
But I'm not joking. I was not explained and I actually was traumatized when it happened.
And I'm trying to be very body positive with my kids. Yeah. You know me, I'm very much anti-surgeries, if not possible. Yeah, I definitely wanting getting my top done. But I have conversations with my daughters around body image and... look, and my ex is probably not going to hearing this, but my daughter hates the fact that my ex has had Botox. And she's like, oh, I can't believe she's doing that to herself and blah, blah, blah. I said, baby, that's mommy's decision. But we're very big on, I said, yeah, I'm looking to get my top done, but a daddy wouldn't be developing like you would. And she goes, no, I understand, daddy. And we have these really adult conversations, but then we kind of go back to talking kid stuff and doing kid things as well and not making a big deal of it. Or like even myself, like I know a lot of moms would walk around without their top on in front of their daughters. And I'm sort of like that way as well, trying not to be too flashy and showy, but trying to make it just more normal and natural, not have to worry about covering yourself up and freaking out that, and I'm trying my best to navigate, like talking to my other mom friends and how they're dealing with it and trying to take a leaf out of everyone else's book. And it is so hard to navigate. How do you not be their friend, but be their friend and create the trust and not create the trust? And It's a interesting balance.
Well, Mr. Clayton, can I lead to you?
This is tip number three, is use the language. First of all, start off with language that is completely clinical and then slowly move from there. So the clinical stuff is where I always think you should start. Then you can start to use a bit of the language the kids are using and then move into just work out where your kids are comfortable and talk to them there.
But I've seen so many women who are so afraid of their bodies to show their bodies, even around their own children. Like maybe a mom's got a chubby tummy and she didn't want to show her tummy to her children. And I think children should see positive body images, that this is what their mom looks like and this is normal, instead of these images we see on the internet or photoshopped images on magazines. Mm. And then next, my kid thinks that she's too fat when she's got,
a little tiny pudge.
Exactly.
Yeah. And absolutely. I bring out these, I don't necessarily bring out the magazines, but I talk about magazines are showing this image that you don't need to be. Mm. And that's, it predominantly is women, but it's for men as well. There are images out there that are men who are totally photoshopped. So it's body shaming everybody. And this needs to sort of, kids need to be aware that this is not real life.
So from your perspective, like the porn that is so freely available and the kids seeing this, how do you address this with the kids in the classes?
I think we're definitely going to, there's a lot of information.
That's a really long conversation.
That's a long one. And we're going to give that a little bit more time.
We'll touch on that when we come back. So
but if you do have any more questions in this space, we've got Clayton here to answer our questions. I know I need him right by my side.
So what are we calling you? Are you principal, admiral? What are we calling you?
Doctor.
You're doctor.
definitely not that. Nothing that I'm giving is full medical advice. And please do not.
Don't take it as
he's,
such.
He's not really a doctor. He only plays one on TV.
You get Dr. Vincent Connolly's in here.
Dr. Vinny. I love Dr. Vinny. Yeah. He made me.
So if you would like to join the conversation, it is 0427JOY949.
Or you can email us on air at joy.org.au. You are listening to Family Matters. We will be back shortly.
There's more from the Family Matters team in just a moment on Joy 94.9.
You are listening to Family Matters and we are talking about I love when people try to be really subtle and they whisper words so you don't know what they're talking about.
Oh, even better.
S-E-X. S-E-X. But we're not whispering. We're being out loud and proud, as we say at Joy. No. And we're lucky we've got Clayton here to teach us things. Now, Clayton, I have a question. Actually, first, Josh, our lovely operations manager, has messaged in and said, fantastic discussion. Thank you, Josh. Hopefully he also finds this question fantastic. I'm interested in when you're teaching the kids about sex ed, I know, obviously these days not all kids come from a mum and dad and a penis and a vagina. Do you talk about other types of artificial conception or other sex for the LGBTI community? I mean, I'm sure you don't go, you know, into great detail, but I'm interested in how broad the education is.
Well, the wonderful thing about children is that they ask questions. And as soon as they ask questions, I can pretty much answer them. There's very few things that I don't answer. There is a couple, I will say. That's for later in life. Or ask your parents.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it's something you're going to find out later. So for that particular one, it does actually come up when kids ask, oh, but how do gays and lesbians have children? And so that's when I'll talk about, you know, this is how there's a few different ways they can go about it. And one of them is artificial insemination or IVF or adoption and all those sorts of things. But when I'm saying about sex at all, I always talk about this is how most people are conceived. This is not how everybody is. So never talking in definites is also a really good tip.
Yeah.
Everything is most often, like,
so you're not excluding someone who might be sitting there going, oh, that ain't gonna be my journey.
Yeah, exactly.
From that age.
And there's a really great book out there by Jamie Lee Curtis, the actress, called Tell Me Again About the Night I Was Born.
Oh.
And it's about adoption. So it talks in there that the girl was having a baby and mum and dad got on a plane to go and pick her up when she had her baby.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really beautiful. And it's in my classroom library. I pretty much read it every year to the kids at some point because it talks about the non-traditional family.
Mm. Which is really important because there could be kids in the class who, you know, weren't born the old-fashioned way.
That's where the stork comes in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, you know, and that's another thing is at any age, do not tell your kids any of that.
No.
But Disney is still making cartoons about this.
Well, that's true.
That's the...
Do you talk about, like, if they said to you, how do gay people have sex?
That I do tend to say. Look, because the conversations we have in primary school are really mechanical. So they're actually about the process of how a baby's made. So when it comes to how gay sex actually happens, which kids have asked me, I said, that's exactly what I say, is that this is how babies are made. We talk about sex for other reasons in high school.
Oh, okay.
So I just pass it on.
Do you find that within the sex ed class that there is very little that's talked about when it comes to LGBT inclusiveness in sex ed?
It tends to be from the kids. So it's mostly with the questions that come from the kids in primary school.
Mm.
High schools are changing slowly, and not all of them, but they are making progress. Primary schools, we do let the kids bring those topics up, and once they do, boom. And trans comes up a lot. The kids ask lots of questions about transgender people. Yeah. And I also talk about, and when we start on transgender people, I'll then talk about intersex people as well. Although intersex, I always feel I have a complete license to talk about because there's no controversy around intersex. Not that there should be any controversy around anything else either, but it's just a biological thing that happens to people when they are born, which is not to say that trans people or GLBTI are otherwise not normal, but
I'm curious. What are some of the questions you get asked about when it comes to trans?
So what's this transgender thing? Like, the kids actually just say, yeah. And sometimes it might be about a particular person, like they've seen in the news that week, and they'll just say, you know, why is this person, do you think they're a girl or think they're a boy, or, you know, and more recently the intersex, and this is intersex not trans, but the intersex woman who won something at the Olympics.
I've forgotten her name. Seminyak.
Yeah.
I'm here for the sport.
Yeah. So that was a really great conversation as well because I talked about intersex. So kids will bring it up, and I think I've probably had one session this year where kids did not bring up transgender and other non-binary.
I guess they see it. You know, they all know who Caitlyn Jenner is, or...
Caitlyn Jenner came up a lot.
Yeah.
So, obviously, in primary school, you're talking about the mechanics of sex.
Absolutely.
Is there anything that you don't talk about? Is there anything... How should you... Okay, so the question's going to come up. Maybe you've accidentally seen something on the television with your kids. Is there anything you shouldn't start talking about?
Look, if the kids ask...
Yeah.
As much as you can, answer most things. The one thing I will never bring up is age of consent, because giving the kids the age of consent is kind of like setting a goal.
Yeah, okay.
So my question for all of you is, and I'm going to go around the room quickly, what is the age of consent?
for...
Oh, if you want to, you can specify if you want to...
I'll be honest, I'm going to take an absolute stab.
Uh-huh.
And 16.
For everybody or for...
I'd hope it's the same for everybody.
Okay.
Yeah.
Beck?
Everyone thinks because I'm a lawyer I should know this, but it's not something I have to deal with. But I was going to say I thought 15.
Okay. Michelle?
I think I was actually shocked when I think I had read it. I haven't looked this up or anything, but I think I saw 14.
All right. None of you are correct.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. It's actually 12.
Whoa! No!
Oh, sorry.
sorry, everyone.
Wait,
the sex educator face thing. No, okay. So, but let me clarify. Let me clarify. And it's 12. However, you can only legally have sex with somebody who is no more than 2 years older than you or 2 years younger. God. So they have to be within 2 years of you. This is really shocking, and I completely understand that. The age of general consent, I'll finish this quickly, the age of general consent is 16. So that means you can consent to having sex with anybody, and no matter what.
So that's doesn't matter if they're 2 years older or not, 16, it doesn't matter.
However, they can't be 2 years younger. They have to be no more than 2 years younger.
And is this like a Victorian state law?
It's different for every state.
No?
So, yeah.
Oh, okay.
The reason that we have this law is not around because what we don't want to do is criminalize kids for having sex. So if kids do have sex at a younger age, we don't want to criminalize that. We want to help them.
Yeah.
Okay.
We all got floored then.
I'm still kind of floored because I'm actually stumbling on my question now in this one. If you have a 12-year-old who takes a photo of themselves on Snapchat and sends it. Now this is really what's happening out there. And this is actually disturbing to me because I would honestly, I would break my foot off my child's ass if I found this out. Who's 11 years old, 12 years old. If they take a photo of themselves on Snapchat and send this out, are they considered?
That is illegal.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So sending images of yourself under the age of 18 is distribution of underage pornography.
Jeez. You almost need like a legal document for your kid, like a manual to know what you can and can't do, what they do if they break the law. This what could hurt them.
And this is why.
We're going to really touch on this, and it was quite interesting because that was one of the questions I wanted to ask tonight. And when I was looking up appropriate government sites today, because that's all I wanted to type into the internet, I was too scared. Apparently, there is actually a Safer Internet Day coming up in February. And I hate that it's one day, but look, if it gives awareness to parents, but the site was actually talking about exactly this. What do parents do if, one, their child has actually sent this out, which could lead to a criminal offence? What to do if their child receives something like this that was not asked for? The technology is changing. Can I be honest? I don't even know how Snapchat works. I had to ask someone at work today how to Snapchat. People were using these apps that I'd never even heard of that create images and then delete images of our kids. Clayton, is this the sort of stuff that we need to be talking about at primary school with
the
kids?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah, like sexting and thing, and you know, safe use of all the different social medias. We definitely talk about that a lot. Not so much the sexting, but definitely the safe use of that. And talking about the age that you're actually allowed to access these programs by their own policy. Yeah. For example, Facebook is 13. I think Kick is 17. I'd have to check up on the others. So.
See, and this is the thing that really just upsets me. You know, as a parent who, yes, I'm transgender. I am a dad, right? I see this stuff in the news where trans women are going in the toilets and getting attacked by other people. If I were to go back to the States and take my children to the toilets there, here I haven't had any problems. But over there, people would get in my face and have something to say. But the problem is there's a lot of dads who aren't transgender, who are cisgendered, who are too afraid to even bathe their own daughters because, or even be at a park alone with their kid because people are looking at them, a lot of moms and everything are looking at them and trying to eyeball them as if they're doing the wrong thing.
And that is very much a social thing that's come up because of laws and things like that. And also the way we treat men and masculinize men, it means that we're actually creating these conditions. It's all, these are parts of toxic masculinity is that men can't feel they can be in contact with their female kids or even their male kids sometimes. Yeah. So
anyway,
we're going to take a breath, I think.
I think I need a breath.
Everybody needs to breathe.
I'm going to take a breath.
Yep. We will be back shortly. You are listening to Family Matters.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Welcome back. You are listening to Family Matters. It's a pretty heavy topic tonight, so hopefully everyone's got their kids away from the radio tonight. Now, if you do have questions while we're going through all this, you can SMS us at 0427-JOY949, or you can email us on air at joy.org.au. Now, one of the things I was, you know, we were talking about the internet and all these apps and stuff. Now, that's one thing, one of the reasons why I'm constantly trying to teach parents about what their kids are on in different apps and whatever. Mm. But I know you struggle with this, Beck, with apps.
Well, I was going to say, what I'm pretty dumb at technology, like I try, but I think one of the issues is I barely have an understanding of how my stuff is not really deleted from the internet.
Yeah.
And so I suspect kids may have that issue too. And things like Snapchat, as much as it disappears, I don't think things really disappear, do they?
So let's say I Snapchat you a picture of my junk.
Yes.
And it's not going to happen.
I guess. Okay.
And then while you go out there on the screen, I'll just press the two buttons on the phone and I've got a complete picture of it that won't disappear at all, ever.
Well, so, that's the thing, isn't it?
It sends the other person a message. I know that you have taken a snap.
But what scares me is everything's, I don't know, I assume in the cloud or some such thing where it is. And my mum always has said to me and my brother, don't put anything on the internet that you wouldn't want on the front page of the newspaper. And it's so true.
I was having a conversation with my mom the other day, and it's really interesting. We've been really rebuilding our relationship since I transitioned, especially recently. And you know the struggles and everything I've actually had with my family, and especially my mom in the beginning of transition. But it's interesting being a mother and daughter now going through this. Mm. And so even some of the things, like she was trying to even explain to me stuff like, you know, making sure you're cleaning here, maybe sure you're doing that, or how to take care of your body, or just different stuff. And I had taken some photos for the breast cancer thing that Gina and I had done, but I also had taken a photo of a bra that I had on. Now, for me, I was all about body image and being proud of my body. So obviously, I've got some major scars on my tummy and just my body is nowhere near, you know, model look. And I was trying to promote positive body image. And my mom was really like, please don't ever do any more of that. Please don't be showing those things. Don't be whatever. Like, I'm like, oh.
And you're an adult.
And I'm an adult.
And you're an adult.
And I'm trying to show positive body, but these are kids wanting to show, thinking that they're going to get special attention.
Help us, Clayton. What do we do? Like, in this space, like, how do we even start this conversation?
Clayton 1 Kenobi.
Because we...
yeah.
You're our only hope.
I know it is. Because we know the repercussions of this. We know that these things can stay forever and how they can be destroyed. Well, so, they can't be destroyed. That's the...
Look, like, most kids are into celebrities. So yeah. You can find plenty of examples on the internet about how a photo has affected a celebrity's reputation and something like that. So I'd go from something that they'll actually understand.
Yeah.
That would be one way I'd approach it. The other way is just keep having those conversations and just remind them that if you send a picture out there, someone can do something with it. And if you don't want that to happen, you're going to apply for a job in the future. You're going to, you know, and it's really hard for kids to think about consequences.
Because it's so far away. Applying for a job. It's like, you old people. It's just,
I've actually got a story on this. So myself, you know, I'm in constantly a lot of different things I'm involved in, right? And so I was actually looking up, because I was trying to update a bio for some of the stuff I was doing for and the judging things I'm doing. And I went and just went and, you know, sometimes you just kind of Google ourselves and stuff. And I actually found my photos on websites that I never even talked to, touched to. And obviously they're nothing more than just maybe transition photos before and afters or just maybe something that I had done. But photos on like Tumblr, photos on random websites. Mm. And I'm going, how in the world did this end up here? And not realizing myself that this had happened. So you can imagine.
And like you said, every time we are going to hire someone at work, I Google them. Every time I'm going to go on a date with someone, I Google them. Whenever I get a new client at work, I go, you know, like you, this stuff never goes away.
I'm not sure the internet was around when I stopped dating, but.
So glad the internet was not around.
My own story on this is that it's not so much about anything other than the fact kids finding out information about me, I wouldn't necessarily tell them straight away, is that kids Google me at school and all my Joy stuff comes up.
Oh, wow.
So, I think the first one I ever saw a kid looking at a picture of me, the thing said next to it, why do gay men wrap everything in prosciutto? So, which was one of my first shows on Stand Up Straight.
That's funny, actually. Yeah. Why do gay men? Never mind. Yeah. Now, one of the things I have found being on dating sites is, and I'm sure you understand this as a single woman as well.
Yep.
I feel as a woman completely judged by like things like Tinder and whatever. But when I look at all the images that are out there, and so I feel that when people look at me, whether they're women or men or whatever, they're judging me based on things like body image from like porn and stuff like that. So
the absolute worst place that kids can learn about sex, and I say this now, it's only a recent thing, but I do say this now to kids in as part of my sex ed talk, the worst place you can learn about your body, the worst place you can learn about sex is through pornography.
Mm.
And it teaches boys how not to treat women. Or how anybody treat anybody, yeah. Really. But the major issue, this is we're showing women being treated in ways which are absolutely vile.
But the girls think that that's how they should be treated as well.
And that's the issue.
Mm. And how do we... Sorry, Beck.
I was just going to say, porn's so accessible. Like, I've got my phone here. I could get porn in, like, less than 1 second.
Do the filters... So can I ask a question? Do these filters actually work? And Michelle, you're nodding your head, which is not great for radio.
I've been in tech a very long time, and I've tried helping parents with this. The closest I've come is on a Mac with a parent with the parental filter.
Yeah.
And they can't go to a site unless I actually authorize it.
Yeah.
But then they can't even do their homework and actually research anything or do anything. So either you shut the internet off completely or... Because kids, I was doing tech work going into schools and fixing laptops and stuff. And I remember the IT guys constantly going and saying, like, these kids knew more about routers and networking.
And clearing history and browser, whatever.
They could do things that even the tech guys going, I didn't even know you could do that.
Wow.
Oh, and I find that all the time. Like, oh, can you show me how you do that? Because I don't know. But kids will find workarounds for pretty much anything.
Yeah.
About halfway through the year, I discovered that the kids had found a workaround. They'd been using a internal routing thing to get around our school blocks. So, and it was only like having a conversation went, oh, we're going to be not doing that anymore.
So how do we equip our kids with... I mean, they are going to look at pornography because just like we opened up the dictionary or the encyclopedia or Playboy or whatever, because we didn't have the internet, how do we actually equip them to go, hang on a sec, one, that's wrong, even before we enter the conversation of there's people out there that's going to try and bring you all types of wrong, but how do we equip them?
Look, from a parent's point of view, and I'd be interested to get your view on this, but from a parent's point of view, one thing I find has been really good is I guess I build a level of conversation respect between me and my daughter. She will sit here and actually have a conversation with me. I'll pour her a cup of tea and we'll sit and have a good conversation. She's not my best friend and I won't be her best friend. I am the authority. Like, you know, this is not a democracy. This is a dictatorship.
Definitely.
The thing is I want to make sure that she knows that I will be upset if she lies to me. I will be upset if she tries to hide from me. But I will not be upset if she opens up to me and talks to me and actually tells me. Like I told her, I said, if you don't want to go somewhere, you don't want to do something, at least tell me. And just even if you think you're going to hurt my feelings, I need you to tell me. And I find it's been a great level of respect between the two of us.
And I find the same with just between me and my students. Like, I'm not a parent, but between my students, I expect them to be honest with me and I'll be honest with them. And if they want to talk about something, let's talk about it. Don't get upset about it. Don't get angry about it. Let's talk about it.
Mm.
And that's a much better way than just, you know, yelling at kids for whatever reason. So.
And is it, do you think even at that primary school age and early high, because they are going to look up this stuff and they
Absolutely.
Are going to stumble across it quite innocently.
They don't have to put in any effort whatsoever.
Nothing at all. Should we be telling them then, consider the way you are, the images you are seeing. One, that's not how you should look. That's not how you should be treating someone you love. That's not safe sex in a lot of the cases
Absolutely.
That we're seeing, which is quite frightening.
Respect yourself, respect other people.
Exactly.
Yeah. And most pornography is not, heterosexual pornography is not safe sex.
Yeah.
So
no.
And it's not respectful.
No.
No.
But just if you see your child who's looking at pornography and the first thing is don't get upset with them
don't
at
shame
all.
Them.
Do not, no. It's talking about. Ask them how they came across it and start there. And so how did you come across this? Okay, did you look it up yourself or whatever else? Which is really that sex educator face. This is where it comes in. Don't get upset with them. They haven't done anything wrong. They've just been doing the same stuff we were doing when we were younger.
Mm.
But just make sure that they understand it is fake. It is not real. Mm-hmm. The bodies in it are not real. The the sex in it is not real.
The women are being treated as sex objects, which is not a reality.
No, absolutely not. So,
Clayton, we are running out of time and we are going to keep, I'd like us to do a follow-up on this. But, okay, say something has been sent to your child and it is something like this, not by a friend, not by something. Do we teach our kids even at this point, or should we be just teaching parents? Where, even Beck, you might be able to answer this question, where do we go when something inappropriate is actually brought to our child's attention by someone that shouldn't be sending that to our child, or even a friend who could be setting alarm bells for something that needs to be discussed?
If you don't know the source of it, go to the police.
Mm, that's what I was going to say.
Is it that simple? Yeah, you can just contact the police?
If you don't know the source of that material, you don't know it's a particular friend or whatever else, go to the police. No question with that whatsoever.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's the other thing, is there's so much scary online predators and, you know, you read all those stories about people pretending to be young people and... Mm-hmm. Oh, the world's scary.
If it's using, if it's between two students at a school using school technology, refer it to the school.
Okay.
Because if it's outside of school technology, the law gets a little more murky. However, in Australia, we've had that we really need to deal with these sort of things.
Yeah.
But if it's between another family in a different context, have a talk to the other person's family.
Yeah.
Just don't go for blame. It does not need to be a blame thing. Just talk about why the kids are doing it.
And it's that poker face, I guess. Again, just...
Sex educator face.
Wow.
what a heavy night tonight, definitely.
Resting sex educator face.
I think I have that, actually.
All right. Well, we will be back shortly to wrap up. You are listening to Family Matters.
You're listening to Family Matters, and we have been talking about sex. And a lot of really interesting stuff about porn and kids and the internet and safety and...
Careful the order of
I should have put those words in a different order. It's been a deep night, Gina.
It has been.
I need to stop saying words. We've had a message from Des from Footscray. Great info for all. Keep up the great work. Thanks, Des.
You know what? We're going to give you some more info because there's one thing I realised I didn't know. I don't know all the apps out there.
Oh, Gina.
There's a Kick. I had to say, what? Is that like a football app, Beck?
Actually, it should be. We've got the Facebook. We can all do the Facebook.
We can all do the Facebook, the Instagram.
The Instagram.
The Twitter.
But the problem is everyone wants to immediately go and start... They want to leave all these sort of safe spaces that we do chat. And they want to go to these areas where they can be they can't hide themselves, like Kick and whatever. So
the Snapchat.
So what are the apps that parents need to know? They're so new and hot off the press that their kids might be... Because I reckon the parents need to stay up to date with the technology.
Anything that's outside standard, maybe even outside standard... Facebook Messenger and outside just a standard texting on a phone. So if it's like Viber, Snapchat.
What? I don't know all this.
Yeah.
Actually, any app that you allow your child to use, make sure that you're their friend or whatever that thing calls it. Yeah. Be in their circle or whatever it's called.
Well, I allow my kids to play with Snapchat because like the face filter, but they're only friends with family and that's it. And no one can friend them.
But there are other programs that do this, that do the filter. So,
yeah, I know.
And
I know.
The space swap and all that sort of stuff. So
No, but because they can send it to me.
Yeah.
So, you know, anyway. Wow.
There's so much to learn.
I don't know any other apps is actually the issue.
No. But I'm sure, look, I did find actually a government website that does keep parents informed on that technology. And I think that was the strongest thing they were saying.
We will definitely be sharing that. And top of that, we will be sharing all the other things around our podcast, all the other links. This packet you've pretty much put in our hands tonight, Gina. Thank you so much.
I put it in your hands. I was too scared to touch it.
He felt dirty.
Now, if you did miss tonight's show or you want to catch back on what we talked about, you can get us on joy.org.au/family matters. You want to reach out to us during the week? familymatters@joy.org.au. You also can subscribe to us on iTunes. And let's see, how else can they get a hold of us, Gina? We're twits.
I'm scared to now talk about all of our social media. I promise it's all good and well-behaved.
Parents, you can filter us. We are good people. We promise.
That's right.
Anyway, thank you so much. Coming up next.
It's our favorite, our good little bears.
Now I've come up with a new one this week.
Okay,
come on.
Have a woof. Great show, boys.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. I worked on that all day.
Night, everyone.
Night, everyone.
You've been listening to Joy 94.9's Family Matters podcast, your light-hearted look at parenthood and rainbow families, sponsored by Berry Street. Did you know that Berry Street seeks members of our LGBTI communities to become foster carers? Not only do they have a proud tradition of training and embracing LGBTIQ carers, they officially support marriage equality.
Learn more now at berrystreet.org.au, a proud Joy sponsor for over 5 years.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.